What's up, Atlanta sports fans? I'm Graham Waldrop, and alongside me, as always, is Adam. Where do we go from here? Kalal. And we are Atlanta's own two Atlanta natives, recapping the week that was in Atlanta professional sports with wacky-ass hijinks and analysis. Adam, how's it going, sir?
Oh, Graham's going pretty well. Just want to start this podcast off by congratulating the Renegades for winning the XFL championship, Graham.
Thrilled.
In front of a strong 22,000 fans.
That's more than I thought there'd be.
Yeah. So that's pretty exciting news.
Sure.
You know, so we can wrap up that whole segment on the XFL. You know, the Falcons actually signed three XFL players, Graham.
What, recently?
Yeah.
Okay.
They signed, one of the best safeties from the XFL, and offensive lineman, and a defensive lineman, to the point where they cut the backup guard from last year, this guy, Ifedi. Do you remember him?
Not really.
He played some. He was like a rotation piece.
The name's kind of familiar.
Yeah, I mean... Mm-hmm. That's what the Falcons are going to get into, is like having this much depth. It's going to be like, you can't keep them all.
No.
So some guys are going
to
be gone.
It'll be really interesting to see, especially like how the defensive line plays out. Where are the rotations? I feel like it's a unit now with so many pieces that are actually viable. You know, how do all those pieces fit? With Graham, Jarrett, Onyemaeta, Caden Ellis, I know he's a linebacker, but he's going to be playing on the defensive line. Some Calais Campbell, D'Angelo Malone. Ebiketie, it's just like, it's a ton of people. And the new guy from Ohio State, his name escapes my mind at the moment, the guy we drafted in the third round. So it's just like, there's just so many people and not enough playing time. You can never have enough depth, especially on the lines with how the injuries just pile up in the NFL. So not complaining about it.
I was really struggling this week on 680 The Fan. I think it was on the morning show, the one that still has Brian Finneran on it. And they were discussing, you know, I don't know if you saw that Matt Ryan became like an analyst for CBS.
Yes.
And he's not retiring, allegedly. So the Colts still owe him a bunch of money.
That's the reason.
But they were kind of getting into like the whole, like, is Matt Ryan a Hall of Famer? And just like how different his legacy would look had we won that Super Bowl.
Oh, obviously.
Yeah. And like so many people blame him. And then they just started going. It was cringeworthy, Graham, just like going into all the different things that happened that were not Matt Ryan's fault that led to us. And like so many of them you forget about, like the holding penalty on Jake Matthews that pushed us out of field goal range.
Devontae Freeman missing the block, not running the fucking ball in the second half.
Enough. Yeah, like that's one thing. They were like a head coach that can't like sack up and overrule his offensive coordinator who won't stop running.
Well, you know what? I bet.
Not Matt Ryan's fault.
Right. I bet Dan Quinn didn't do that at all during the regular season, and I bet they never even had a conversation about Dan Quinn doing anything to disrupt the offense. I bet it was, Kyle, this is your show. I don't know anything about offensive football. I won't say anything.
It's just crazy the turn of history, though. Like, Dan Quinn would still be our head coach, you know?
Probably.
Like, if you win a Super Bowl in this town, like, you get 10 years of grace after that?
At least. You get a statue. You get a statue, you get 10 years, you get key to the city. The key to every woman's heart, and man, like you're good for life. You don't got to do anything.
Yeah, it wouldn't be called Mercedes-Benz Stadium anymore. It'd be called the Q Dome.
The Q Dome. Well, that's actually a good name.
The Q Dome. Yeah, no, it's wild. Just like we'll never recover from that.
No,
it's like
even if we win the Super Bowl, we'll never recover from the Super Bowl we lost.
It's like what's that show, Tiger King or whatever it was called. The Netflix show that people went crazy about.
Yes.
It's like, I will never financially recover from
this. We will never emotionally recover from this. Yeah. And Arthur Blank will never financially recover from all the money he could have made after winning the Super Bowl too.
Yeah, there's no one in Atlanta that can say that they've never been through any trauma. Because, like, that shit cuts deep, man.
Yeah. And it would be one thing, too, if this was, like, you know, an anomaly. Like, we had won some championships before that. We had a Super Bowl before that. We won, like, multiple World Series or NBA titles. And didn't suffer like so many crushing playoff defeats and championship defeats, but it's like this is just like the cherry on top of a sundae of shit is what the 2016-17 Super Bowl was.
It's crazy because there's like a different Super Bowl team every year. Like, who won this past year? I don't
Kansas
even remember.
City.
Who won the year before that?
L.A. Rams.
But the point is, like, you have to think really hard.
You have to think for a second.
If you go back like 6 years, who won? You can guess the Patriots. This will always be ours. Like, no one else would really care about the Falcons winning that Super Bowl now. Hey, we're turning the page, though.
You got to.
Did you see these pictures of Desmond Ridder going around this week? Mm-hmm. He's all jacked.
Oh, yeah.
They showed like pictures of him last year at the beginning of training camp.
He looks like a shrimp.
Oh, yeah. And he's like, he looks huge this year. Looks like a grown man.
No, he looks like a full-grown prawn.
Hopefully he's not too big, though.
Sure.
You got to be nimble.
You don't want him to be Jamarcus Russell out there or something like that, where he's like 300 pounds.
This is muscle.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I think you got to beef up a little bit in the NFL. Like, I think guys like Lamar, you know, he's so skinny, even though he's like, he's still built out and whatnot, but it's like, it's good to be a little thick. You're going to take some hits, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, it's not baseball.
No.
Where you want to be lean.
No.
Got to take some punishment.
Yeah. Speaking of baseball, Adam, should we jump into what's going on with the Braves?
That probably makes sense.
It's not been good recently. Losers of five of their last six, I believe. Swept on the road in Toronto. Two of those games were really winnable as well. I know you were out of town this weekend, but like Saturday's game especially, there's some just disastrous play in the outfield. I don't know if you heard about that.
I heard about just like issues with the shadows. And yeah, saw an example of it on Sunday, I believe.
Yeah, like Olsen dropped a ball they shouldn't have dropped. Ozzie and Ronnie had multiple miscommunications. There were balls dropped there as well. It was a disgusting series. And this Braves schedule has been hard recently. And it's not getting any easier with, the Toronto series last weekend playing the Rangers, who are surprisingly the best team in the AL West so far this year. And then next week, the Dodgers coming to town. And this weekend, Seattle Mariners coming to town. And, none of those, the Dodgers had the best record in the National League out of nowhere. Not that we expected them to suck or anything, but, they've been playing really good baseball recently. The Mariners are picking it up. They were a playoff team last year, so it's like we're not getting the Nationals and, the Marlins and shit. We're getting some actually like really, solid to good teams. And I think the lack of consistent starting pitching is hurting. The bullpen just continues to be quite vulnerable, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, we're certainly hitting some adversity here. And of course, this tough schedule coincides with Fried and Wright being out, Wright, who officially went to the 60-day DL. So like we knew he was going to be out a couple months, but that just makes it all the more official. But yeah, man, if the bullpen's not holding up, they're under the bargain. I mean, that game Sunday was just brutal, where like it was a bullpen game, and like we made it. I mean, that's the thing with these bullpen games. It's like so many people can be on, but it just takes one or two being off and you're screwed. But we had a one-run lead for like four innings, and then Iglesias comes in and quickly blows it.
Yeah.
I feel like there was some bad luck in that inning as well. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it was another outfield issue like early, and it was just like, shit, man, can't close it out. Like to escape with one in Toronto would have been huge.
But, yeah.
At the end of the day, we're five up in the division. We have a nice lead.
Yeah.
And
if you just played,
I'm not worried.
No, I'm not super worried or anything, but I mean, we could have really buried the Mets and Phillies, I think. Especially the Mets. The Mets are just in a perpetual free fall.
Well, don't
right
forget
now.
About the second place
Marlins. I'm not concerned about the Marlins. Their run differential is just crazy. They're like negative 56. Like they're gonna bottom out really soon, I think. I think by middle of June they'll be an afterthought. But for the Mets and the Phillies, it would have been nice to while those teams aren't performing as well as you expect them to perform, to really put some more distance between you and them. But it's hard, especially when you are. I think we had like two bullpen games in the last week, and that's just not a recipe for success to me in today's MLB. Because you're just going to start tiring out your guys, and the bullpen has already worked, a lot of innings this year, and it's not going to get any better. So like throwing McHugh for two innings on Sunday, I was just like, this sucks. This sucks. I don't know what we need to do, but we need to have like a solid five-man rotation. We can't like rely on this to be a thing that we do until Fried and Wright come back. Not to say that they're going to do that, but we just need to find a way to throw a consistent five out there. And thank God Charlie Morton is pitching really well this year. Very impressed with his effort the other night, the 12-0 victory over the Rangers. I can't remember if that was Monday or Tuesday. I think it was Monday.
Yep.
Dude looked like a hoss. Struck out 10. The spin rate seems back on his fastball. That was a big thing last year.
Been ridiculous.
And the curveball has been really good, too. That was the thing last year. People just weren't – he wasn't inducing enough whiffs. Now the whiffs are back. The strikeouts are going up. He's been outstanding this year so far. He's been our best pitcher, a sub 3 ERA, a 1.37 WHIP. He's been excellent. 49 strikeouts to 18 walks, only given up 4 home runs, and 47 and a third innings pitched. So I Charlie Morton looks like Charlie Morton again for the first time since 2021.
Yeah, no, he's been great. Strider's been solid to great for the most part.
I mean, Strider's still having an amazing season.
Yeah, Elder's been really good. So someone's got to step up. At least we got 5 out of Schuster last night.
Yeah.
But he was getting, I mean, they pulled him after like 60 pitches, which I know a lot of people are complaining about, but he was getting just rocketed in that last inning that he did pitch.
Yeah.
So, but then, of course, Dylan Lee comes in, who's been one of our better relievers all year, and he sucks.
I'm worried about Dylan Lee. I think he's been overworked. He's already thrown 20 innings this year. It's a lot to ask of a guy who doesn't have a ton of major league experience to just be like one of the people you're really relying on. I mean, I'm disappointed, and you know, like Joe Jimenez has not been the guy that we thought he was going to be.
It's funny, he'll be okay, but he like gives up one home run every single appearance.
Yeah, and that's just unacceptable. You know, another guy who's been good this year is Nick Anderson, but it's like, can we really rely on Nick Anderson? You know, Minter has, by all intents and purposes, had a bad season.
Like, he's almost unusable now.
Yeah, with his 8.05 ERA. Interesting article on Battery Power, formerly Talking Chop, that I read today, about what's really going on with AJ Minter. And they broke down a lot of interesting things, saying that, like, you know, there's a lot of, like, under-the-radar stats that seem to indicate that maybe he's getting a little unlucky. His batting average of balls in play is like 400 or something. Like, surely that will regress at some point. Hard hit rate is pretty good. You know, his strikeout and walk rate is actually a little better than it was last year. But they're saying some of it could be bad luck. Some of it could be a pitch clock thing, where he used to be, someone who would really take his time, especially in the stretch when runners were on.
Yeah.
And that, you know, there could just be an adjustment period going on. But they're saying, like, don't give up on him. The under the radar, under the hood stats say that he's still a good pitcher. He's going through a bad stretch right now. But it still sucks when, you know, your setup man has an 8.05 ERA. You can't really get around that.
Yeah, I mean, he was one of the ones that we kind of talked about in spring training, saying it could be an issue for him with the pitch clock.
Yeah,
because he was just brutally slow.
Here we go.
At least we have depth, and like we're getting, you know, Tonkin has been great this year.
Yeah, he's been good.
My boy Kirby Yates is starting.
He's looked strong.
Look like a real piece. Mm-hmm. So it'll come together. We just kind of like someone's got to step up. If it's Schuster, Dodd's been getting killed in AAA. Soroka, I think they're kind of just scared to pull the trigger on bringing him up.
I like to pull the trigger on
Soroka. Anthopoulos was interviewed about it this week and was like, look, he's still working some things out. Like, when we bring him up, we're bringing him up for good. Like, he's not going to be like a spot starter guy.
Right.
But,
yeah, and I would say, you know, with the being 10 games over 500, don't rush him. I just think he will have better stats with, we also have to consider how much he's actually, like, working on things right now, how much he's treating this like a spring training. But, you know, I think, like we were talking about a couple weeks ago, I can't remember if that was last week, but we're basically like the FIP is really good. Everything that he controls, walks, home runs, strikeouts, you know, there's a good rate in Gwinnett despite his bloated ERA. So it's like, I think, you know, a lot of it could be related to, you know, just having substandard defense in AAA. That's probably not the whole story, but that number is encouraging to me.
Let's talk about your boy Michael Harris, Graham. I feel like we've kind of let him go under the radar now.
Yeah, let's get into it. I'm disappointed in Mike to begin the year. I know he was on the shelf for a while being injured, but it seems like every fucking ball he hits is a ground ball. It doesn't matter if it's a base hit or if it's an out, and most of the time it is an out. Just been a far cry from himself. 206 average, 299 on base, 309 slugging, with a paltry 608 on base plus slugging percentage. Negative 0.2 war. Still playing good defense, but the offense, he's just damn near an automatic out at this point.
I mean, at this point, he's our worst offensive outfielder. Like,
he's our worst offensive player
right now. I'd plug in Pilar Rosario Hilliard over his bat right now.
Right, but his D is still excellent. Right. So it's like, it's tough to lose him. You can't really afford to bench him or anything like that because of how valuable his defense is. But I agree, his offense is bad, and everything's going straight into the ground. He is not getting any lift on his balls right now. The last time he got lift on his balls was that walk-off hit he had a couple weeks ago. I can't remember who that was. It was on a Sunday. It was a Sunday afternoon game against Baltimore. Yeah. Next year innings. And that's the last time, I think, I mean, I'm sure he's hit the ball in the air since then. That's the last time he hit the ball in the air with any sort of significance, it feels like. So just really disappointing season for Mike offensively so far.
Yeah, we've just got a couple of guys who we were expecting huge things out of this year. And Michael Harris, Austin Riley, Olsen's been kind of hit or miss
a little bit. I'm kind of thinking that Matt Olsen ain't that great. Like, he's becoming like a three outcomes player, like a Joey, like he's a much better version of Joey Gallo, where he's either going to get a walk, a home run, or a strikeout.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I feel about Matt Olsen. It's very similar to last year. Started off hot as the Dickens, falls off a cliff, comes back to be okay, falls off a cliff. You know, it's just the pattern's repeating, and it's frustrating. I need more from Matt Olsen. He should not be hitting number two right now. Austin Riley should not be hitting number three. I would put Sean Murphy at number two, man. I mean, Acuña's playing at an all-world level. Put Sean Murphy behind him, really create some 1-2 thump. I mean, like, if I'm a starting pitcher right now, I mean, I don't want to walk Acuña, but I'm not as, I'm not afraid of Matt Olsen behind him. If you put Sean Murphy there, I'm terrified of having to face Acuña Murphy to open a game. Like, get out of here.
Yeah, I mean, Acuña's really doing it. It's because we have a good offense, right? Like, we put up,
yeah, overall
a lot of runs, but it's kind of like streaky in parts. It's very streaky. It's like Acuña, like, really holding things together.
He's the glue. He's everything.
I mean, that's the great thing about our depth is, like, yeah, Olsen and Riley aren't going to be those guys every night, but then, like, Arcia comes in, or you get a Pilar, or obviously Sean Murphy.
Right. But how many of those guys are going to be consistently, like, doing the thing, doing work?
But that's the thing. When you have nine deep that are, like, solid players, some people can be off and other people are going to pick them
right
up.
But I'm just saying,
you got, like, Acuña, you know, at the top of the order, just like keeping everything right together.
True, but I'm just saying, like, you know, I don't expect Pilar or Arcia to be doing what they're doing in July or August. They just don't have the track record for that.
Well, you're a pessimist and a track record guy.
Yeah, but I'm not a pessimist. I just look at stats and try to make objective opinions about things. Whereas, I mean, Arcia and both of them have done outstanding work so far. Hopefully I'm wrong. But what I'm saying is, like, you expect Olsen and Riley to be a hell of a lot more consistent than they are right now. They don't have to be on Acuña's level, because very few people are. But I got to get more from Austin Riley and Matt Olsen if we have a chance in hell at actually doing something this year. Obviously, the pitching has to come around. But offensively, you throw this team into a playoff series right now, the only people I trust are Acuña, Sean Murphy. That might be it.
Ozzie, if it's a lefty.
Ozzie, if it's a lefty, yes. But it's really like those two guys have just been so huge and instrumental in our success this year.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, we do crush lefties. Like, if you ever throw a lefty against us, you're just a fool.
That was like the Rangers game on Monday. It was a left-hander.
Or scored 12 runs.
Poor bastard's first start. He just gets absolutely destroyed.
Yeah. Tied a major league record for 5-2 run home runs in a game.
Hmm.
Arcia had one. Your boy Ozuna keeps it going in May.
Dude.
Hell, Ozuna might be our cleanup hitter again soon.
I'm telling you something. So when I was watching the game on Saturday, it was an Ozuna at bat. He gets, I think we talked about this last week, but, you know, it was like the same thing. It was like he got like an eight. He saw like 8 or 9 pitches, worked a 3-2 count, took the ball the other way. He was out. You know, it was a fly ball, it was an out, but he hit the ball hard. It could have been a home run, you know, if he had just been a little faster on the pitch. But it was like a really good at bat. I was like, I'm not going to be upset at him getting 9 pitches and then hitting the ball and almost hitting a home run and getting out. Like, you do that all day, I'm cool. Because, you know what? Eventually you're going to break through. And he's been, you know, he's been consistently hitting homers. He's been excellent in May. He's got like 1,000 OPS in May. Like seven, like, I don't know how many home runs he has. Like 4 or 5 home runs. He's doing a really good job right now. And
he has 8.
He's 8 total.
In May.
I'm just talking about May.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but he's been fantastic. I don't think anybody saw this coming. But yeah,
patience has paid off. There.
Ozuna has been clutch. I'm still not going to sit here and say he's going to like continue this stretch for the rest of the year, this hot streak. But we need this right now. So hats off to him for working through his shit and providing some actual value for the first time in 3 years.
Do you know Shoemaker's still on the active roster?
It's because Adrianza is still hurt. Right?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I was going to say he needs to be down getting his reps, but that makes sense. With Austin and Olsen, I know Snip plays these guys every day, but
they might need a
day off.
Matt Olsen really needs a a day off to me. It was encouraging to see him hit an opposite field double on Monday night against a lefty. But overall, I'm not impressed with his at bats. He just looks like he's flailing at stuff. He doesn't seem locked in. His hips are flying open. Something's going on with him mechanically that's just drastically affecting his performance at the plate that needs to be figured out and figured out promptly.
Yeah, keep in mind, we're talking to you guys at the end of this brutal Blue Jays series and tough loss to the Rangers last night that we actually had a chance to win. But this thing obviously turns quick and still a really good team.
Yeah, this team isn't like screwed or anything.
Hope does not need to be lost. We just need someone to stabilize. We just, like, we can do a bullpen game once through a turn, but like we should be between.
You think every time during the rotation you do a bullpen game?
I think teams do that now.
Yeah.
But once. We can't do it twice.
No.
We need someone to step in and give us 5-6 innings. Have you heard of this kid, this 20-year-old kid who is just flying through the organization, kind of like Spencer Strider did?
Mm-mm.
Like he just tore up single A. He was in double A for, you know, maybe like 3 weeks, and now they promoted him to triple A.
Well, shit, maybe he comes up and helps us out.
Yeah, I think that's the thought. It's like, it's obviously a man on a mission.
Yeah, cool.
Trying to move him along. So.
I love it.
Could pull a name for you, but meh.
Yeah. It's a guy.
We'll see. Yeah, he's a guy, and we'll see where that goes. I saw some bullshit article circulating today about how, like, much of a massive mistake the Braves made by not re-signing Dansby. And it's like, we just need to admit this now, like, they made a huge mistake. And I don't see it. Like, Arcia's defense has been good. Like, I don't have the defensive metrics in front of me.
Yeah, he's been above average, for sure.
He's hitting .342 compared to Dansby's now .270. And, you know, Dansby started off hitting, like, .450 for the first 3 weeks.
Right.
So he's in one of his hot and cold Dansby slumps, which is, like...
Dansby's still having a good season, though. But Arcia's been objectively better.
Yeah, like, that shortstop isn't our issue now. Like, also, we're 10 games above .500.
Yeah, I would like to see an article saying, hey, maybe Anthopoulos should have spent on an actual, like, frontline starter. Not like a Verlander, but, you know, Jose Quintana, or not Jose Quintana, who am I thinking of? Carlos Rodon from San Francisco. Like, you know, that's an article I could be like, yeah, we should have invested in another frontline starting
also,
pitcher.
But also, Rodon is hurt and hasn't played all year.
True, but I'm just saying, like, on paper.
Right, but you don't expect to lose Fried, your top two starters, basically.
You don't, but also it's like Fried... You know what you're getting. Kyle Wright has one good season, and it's like that's a lot to put on Kyle Wright's shoulders to be like, yeah, you're going to be consistently amazing again next year without any setbacks. It's just like get insurance policies or starting rotation, because putting all the pressure on these fucking young kids is a dangerous game to play.
Well, I don't think there's that much pressure. Like, I don't think they're like going out there saying, hey, you need to be an all-star this year.
No,
like,
but
they just want guys who are going to eat up innings and give them a chance to get to their bullpen.
That's not good enough, you know? You know, the only two guys you can, like, legitimately trust are Morton and Strider. Everyone else is a question mark.
Well, right now, because there's injuries.
I know. But why wouldn't you want to get one more guy just to be like, you know what, if Max Fried goes down, if Kyle Wright goes down, we still have, or whatever. If you lose two of your five guys that you projected going in the rotation, at least you have another stud here. It's easy to say go get a stud, but it's like I would have... totally invested and find another frontline starter just for this exact scenario. Because you're going to burn your young pitching out. You're going to burn your bullpen out.
I mean, every team's going to struggle. Like, we had pitching depth, like starting pitching depth. Every team's going to struggle if you lose two out of your top three starters.
Of course, but
no
why not?
No one's going to be able to just replace that.
No, but you build more depth by getting another frontline starter in the offseason so that if the situation arises, you are better prepared to weather the storm. The Braves are not prepared to weather this storm. You are relying on Bryce Elder, who's having admittedly a great season, but who knows how long that lasts. You're just relying on too many people that have question marks around them. We had to do two bullpen games in a week. Like, this is not good.
No, it's not good. But you understand this wasn't the plan.
I know this wasn't the plan. I'm just saying you should have planned better. You should have gone out and gotten another legitimate starter.
You had four guys competing for the fifth spot.
And they were
in the
all
rotation.
Question marks. Either young and inexperienced are severely injury prone. And guys like Schuster, Dodd, and Soroka. And then Elder's also inexperienced. That's just too many question marks.
You think a lot of teams have a better fifth starter than that?
I don't know. It's a give and take thing. It's easy to play Captain Hindsight. But I also said this in the spring training.
Right, but you also wouldn't have traded for Sean Murphy because it was a position of strength.
I wouldn't have. So, You win some, you lose some. You're not going to nail it every time.
There we go.
But yeah, that article about that's like the worst thing someone should be talking about right now. Going back to your original point about we just need to admit that losing Dansby was, you know, a huge mistake. Cubs overpaid for Dansby. Dansby's a good player. He'll never have as good a season as he had last year. His power is way down. He's only hit like what, 3 home runs this season?
Yeah, 2 or 3.
Yeah. So
Cubs are sitting at 19-23.
Yeah, he's still a very valuable player, an excellent defender, and his 383 or whatever on base percentage is stellar. But you know, I'm not losing sleep over Dansby Swanson. I'm losing sleep over my rotation and the struggles of Riley and Olson.
You know who I wish we had from the Cubs? Drew Smyly, man.
Why is it that always pitchers come to the Braves, suck, and then they leave, and then they're great? Like Smyly, and particularly, I'll never get over how good Kevin Gausman is now.
Yeah.
What in the actual fuck?
Like Smyly, 4-1, 305 ERA, .97 whip. Like, I mean, remember when we made that trade for him or signed him, which I think you're like, this is silly. Why are we signing some loser like that? We don't need rotation depth, blah, 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 blah.
I never said we don't need rotation depth. I just don't like,
and they, like that they signing. Liked Smyly because they, like, saw something in his saber metrics from like his like 4 starts.
He still wasn't very good for us.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah.
That's the thing. He was terrible.
Right.
But now it's playing out.
Yeah, I like that's playing out.
He was
now
actually decent like for part of last year. I only know because I had him on my fantasy baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how you learn things like this. That's a guy we can make a trade for. Let's bring Smyly back.
Yeah, it is crazy. Like 4.48 ERA when he was with the Braves. 3.05 ERA this year with Chicago and a sub-1 whip. Damnation.
I mean, you got to start looking. I mean, it's so damn early in the season still. Like, the only teams out of the race, holy shit, the A's are already 17.5.
Yeah, the A's are terrible.
You know, we love trading with them, but I don't think they have anybody. Like, I saw.
No, they got a couple of good guys that you could look at in the outfield.
Yeah, I saw the outfielder, but like pitching wise,
no.
Like Mueller, I think I saw he had a 7+ ERA, so he wouldn't have been the answer if he was still with us.
All the people we've given the A's, like Christian Pache was the centerpiece of the the Matt Olson deal. He's not even on the A's anymore, so it's like I don't think we've lost really anything.
Langoliers is all right.
Langoliers is good, but like when you get in Sean Murphy, it doesn't really matter. But you were talking about the standings.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, A's are the only team that's out of it. So, like,
yeah,
no one's trading a starting pitcher until maybe early July.
Yeah.
So someone's got to step up.
Kansas City and Chicago White Sox are out of it, too, I would say. But, yeah, for the most part, it's slim pickings.
You're
going
to wait
there
for that market to develop. No one's going to make a trade early.
Yeah, I heard Anthopoulos saying, you know, he's had conversations. He realizes it's something that's going on, obviously. So he's, you know, it's not like he's doing nothing. It's just, I'm saying it's the reality of the trade market right now. There is no trade market in middle of May.
Let's sign Bumgarner. Give him a spot start.
He's so bad. He's not usable anymore. Like he is washed up. He gave his best years to the Giants. They won 3 World Series. He's not been the same since that dirt bike or ATV injury where he blew his arm out. And he has not been the same pitcher. I want nothing to do with Madison Bumgarner. 7 years ago, I'd be like, what are you talking about? That's just the reality now. He is worthless.
Good clubhouse guy.
I don't need a clubhouse. We have plenty of good clubhouse guys. That's the last thing I need. I need someone to come in here. I don't want a clubhouse cancer or anything, but I need a good club. I need a good pitcher.
Okay. Well, we'll see, Graham.
It is crazy that Wright's going to be out for like 2 more months, and Fried will be out for at least what, another month and a half or something.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
It's just.
I love me some Max Fried.
Yeah, good news.
I mean, he'd been lights out.
I guess. Yeah, he had been. The good news, I guess, about that, if there is good news, is that if you wanted to maybe get him an extension,
now's a good time.
You could cite the injury. Maybe not even like right now, but like if he comes back and still pitches well, he's like, well, you did miss like 2 months in the season, so that's going to knock $20-30 million off your contract.
We'll get him now when he's a little scared about his future.
Or that, or you could pounce and really prey on his emotions.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Prey on his fears.
He wants that security. Lifetime family security. 8 years, $52 million contract.
I want the 10-year
Aussie special.
Yeah, I'm about to say the Aussie special, like the 8-year, yeah, like 36 million.
Poor And what do you think about all this stuff going on? Like, you know, at any time Ozzie just like, I mean, he's hitting like over 400 from the left side of the plate. I mean, from the right side of the plate, and maybe 200, 220 from the right, from the left side.
Yeah.
And anytime that happens, everyone's like, why don't you just like bail on switch hitting?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
I wish he would. I think he's so much, he's just a consistent force on the right side. And obviously it wouldn't be, there would be a tough transition to do that. I don't know if you want to do that in the middle of the year. But I mean, the numbers are there. And I read this article on The Athletic where everybody just like comes up to him, ask him if he wants to do it. And he always says no. And I'm all for being like, you know, support your guy, support what he wants to do. But it's like, if Ozzie Albies can be better, maybe just say, hey, Ozzie's tough shit. You're batting right-handed from now on.
I mean, I think that's the problem is we don't know if he would be better batting right-handed against, right? Because, I mean, you got to think, he's used to always seeing a slider go away from him. And then all of a sudden it's coming towards him, you know?
Yeah.
But
he has had success.
I guess it sounds like he actually somewhat considered it.
Yeah.
When Seitzer brought it up to him recently.
I would be like, so he's only had 10 major league at bats hitting from the right side, but he's 4-for-10 with 3 home runs.
Well, so against bums.
It's against like, bums for the
like
most part.
Either position players or people that throw like 80 miles
sure,
an hour.
Sure. But so even it's not a real stat.
You knew that was a not real stat.
I knew it was not a real stat, but it still makes
you. I read the same article you did.
Yeah, it still makes you go like, what if you just try it?
As Vinny Graziosi
just
used to tell my old roommate, don't piss on me and tell me it's raining, Graham.
Oh, yeah, it's very original. but I just wish the Braves would force his hand and just say, hey, you know, you're an excellent right-handed hitter. Let's just do it. And, like, if it doesn't work, if it makes your whole game fall apart, we'll rebuild you. You're still young. It's okay. But it's, again, we're bitch, you know, we could be Oakland and losing our team. We could be, you know, the Phillies having a World Series hangover right now. Or the Mets, who spent $300 million in payroll and are, you know, just losing almost every game.
I'm content to be an Atlanta Brave, Graham.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's still things are fine.
Everyone's got their issues.
Everyone does have their issues, that's for sure. No team is infallible or anything like that. But the I just want to see the schedule is still brutal. We finally play the Phillies in May, Adam. But I am looking forward to getting a little reprieve from this brutal stretch. So after the Dodgers next week, we get the Phillies for 4, which hopefully we take care of business there. And then 3 at Oakland, 3 at Arizona. Arizona's actually had a pretty decent season. 3 against the Mets, 3 against Washington, 3 against Detroit, 4 against Colorado. So like especially like Washington, Detroit, Colorado, that's like 10 games where you should be like 8-2 by the end of that. So help is coming for the Braves in terms of a little bit of schedule relief. I think that's all we got for the Braves, Adam. No real Falcons news.
I think we covered Falcons already. I was going to say, surely you don't have Hawks stuff to discuss.
There's nothing to talk about with the Hawks.
Sounds like that's an episode then.
It might be an episode. I will say this. I think the Hawks, just talking about the Hawks for a second, you know, we were talking about like, what, you know, I remember I was like, why bring Quinn Sider in now during the middle of the season? I think we saw why. Doc Rivers fired. Coach Bud fired. Nick Nurse fired. So many like good coaches, all coaches who have won NBA titles. It's not like, you know, some guy you never heard of was fired. These are all, you know, regardless of what you think about it. I know Doc Rivers chokes in the playoffs every year, but this is the thing is it's like there were a lot of premium, you know, guys you think of as premium head coaches. Monty Williams is also fired, like that are now available. And there's all these jobs that are available as well that are better than the Hawks. And so you know that all the teams that fired those coaches would be after Quinn Snyder. They'd be on him like white on rice.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really good that the Hawks got him when they did, because I doubt if we had waited until the end of the year that Quinn Snyder would still be available. Or even if he was available, he probably wouldn't pick the Hawks ever, say, going to Milwaukee to work with Giannis, you know?
Yeah.
So
we could have brought Coach Bud back, though.
That would be hilarious.
Giving him that GM of basketball operations.
Not again. I think we learned our lesson from that the last time.
Yeah.
But so
that's a good point, Graham.
This front office actually did a smart thing, I would say.
Yeah, you know, I know as fans, we think everyone running all organizations are just idiots.
But right.
They're probably pretty smart people.
Some, yeah, I would say so. I'd say the majority of them are probably pretty smart. All right, that's it for this episode. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you're well. We'll see you next week. Until then, rise up, chop on, unite and conquer, and remain true to Atlanta. Hospitabilis it.